thank you for those of you that came. And I want to encourage you guys. Don't hold back because I'm not necessarily sharing that word. Just sometimes I'm trying in that moment, just wait up. What is the God trying to say? And they're great and they all contribute. But I'm just trying to find a line and a thread and saying, Jesus, what are you trying to say to us this morning? So I want to encourage you guys to allow the Spirit to speak through you and come and share those words. And don't then go, well, he didn't share my words, so I'm not going to share it again. That would be the devil robbing the body. And just, you know, don't allow the devil to rob the body of a blessing. And just because it wasn't necessarily shared, it's not to undermine that in any way, all right, and think that you missed it. It's not. Just sometimes, just trying to really find and be sensitive to the Lord and just pick a direction. But this morning in preparing, and as in the last 2 weeks at least, there's been a preparation the last 2 weeks, I just felt as we would gather together that God would do something different in and through us. And just, you know, often we kind of get into a bit of a routine of doing things and it's the same old, and sometimes that can just be because that's how we do things, you know. And I really just was encouraged I wanted to hear testimonies and stories of people within the life of this congregation where they've encountered Jesus over the last while. I know some of us have got incredible stories. I know Laria shared her testimony. I'm trusting one day, all of you will know her testimony and we might have an opportunity. But it's an incredible testimony of the grace of Jesus on a young woman's life that was just broken. And how God has restored her and what she's walking in. I know when I look around this room, many of us have stories. Many of us have a journey. And, you know, when we think about the gospel of, you know, we want to share and win people for Jesus. And we want to evangelize. The best tool we have is our testimony, our story, our journey. And so often we forget that. You know, we come into a situation, God, what am I going to say? How am I going to tell this person about Jesus? Well, sometimes it's not necessarily telling them about Jesus, but telling them about what he has done in your life that actually holds the weight and is that brings the freedom. So I know for years, I'm like, how do we go, hey, do you know Jesus? He loves you. Oh, like, you need Jesus in your life. You know, you walk out, like, I've got a mate at the moment that I'm witnessing to, and he's having a crisis in his life, and I'm really trusting that God's going to give me opportunity. But in this process, just as I walk with him, I suddenly realize, you know, the story of my life, and even though it's not checkered and hectic and drugs, sex, and rock and roll kind of thing, you know, I still know that my story is one of redemption and a God that saves me. I remember as a young boy, at the age of about 12 or 13, we used to be part of a youth group, and we often used to go out onto the streets evangelizing. And I remember standing at the bus terminus, I think they still use that word, where all the buses pull in, and then in Port Elizabeth, and it was under the freeway, it was dark and dingy and smelly, and I was totally out of my comfort, young little white boy amongst a mass of the majority of South African race group, and I'm like going, man, this is intimidating, and I was with a bunch of friends, so I was secure in knowing that God had asked us to be here, and I stood on the street corner with these guys, and I shared my testimony. And like I said, I didn't have any like this amazing. When I say no, let's rephrase that because that's not the word. Because I do have an amazing testimony. Jesus saved me. I don't have a checkered past, you know, where some of us come out of those things that just were just destructive. I was born into a Christian family. My parents got saved when my mom was born. When my mom was pregnant with me, that's a good one. When my mom was pregnant with me, I was born into this beautiful environment that was just, you could almost say, just so sheltered and so protected, you know. But going to school, and I realize it today, going to school is probably one of the toughest things I ever had to do. Going to school, getting slotted into the schooling system. When I look around me and I hear what's going on today, and that was 30 years ago, but when I look at the school system and I look at what I was thrown into and what I was exposed to as a young man and just everything, I tell you what, I was it was crazy. The things we get exposed to, and parents, we need to be warring over our children because they are exposed to things in the schooling system today that I honestly it's not helpful. It's not helpful. There's stuff happening. I mean, we've seen the legislation wanting to get passed now about the new act of sex education. It's horrific what our kids are being expected to be exposed to. And I tell you what, we can only protect our kids for so long, in a sense, but yet we need to war over them. We need to pray over our children. We need to intercede for our children. We need to evangelize our children. We need to pastor our children. We need to disciple our children. We need to just be Jesus to our children. They need Jesus right now more than anything else. And I know, I almost feel like I could go in and preach here, but it's like there's a reason for this morning. So our testimony is so, so important. What where it goes and where we go with it and how we encourage one another and how we share of how Jesus took us out of a system or out of a culture, and he gave us a new culture. He's given us a new identity. And that's something that I've just last few weeks, just going, Jesus, what is my identity? Is my identity in what I do or who I am, or is my identity in you? And it's just fascinating how this last week on Friday night, when the guys from Altitude came, that was what was on their heart as well. And just the thing of identity as children of the living God, chosen by an incredible God, that he would choose us. I mean, come on. We don't deserve any of this. None of us deserve. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve eternal life. We really don't. We deserve death. According to the Bible, and there's countless scriptures, that we deserve death. But Jesus chose us. He chose us. Man, my prayer is that they would grip your heart this morning, and you would walk away literally stunned by the fact that he chose you, and he called you out, and he called you, and he set you apart, set you, my son, my daughter. That your identity is not in what you do, not that you're a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant or an architect. That is not your identity. I remember growing up, it's like, what are you going to do who are you going to be when you're older? That was always, who are you going to be when you're older? I'm still going to be me. I'm just going to do something in order to earn an income. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Catherine. Come on, I am not defined by what I do. And I realized over these last while, and I've just been vulnerable, I realized that a little bit of my identity had been wrapped up in the fact that I'm a worship leader. Suddenly, like, these little things, so they didn't ask you to lead worship, Chad. Suddenly I realized there's a little bit of Chad still there. No, honestly, I was saying to the guys on Wednesday, with the time in Cape Town at the conference, since we've been having conferences, I've always been involved in worship. I mean, I've organized worship. I've coordinated the worship teams. That's behind the scenes. That's what I love. And for the first time, I was not asked to lead worship. And I was like, oh, okay. Great. Okay. I won't bring my keyboard then. I'll make sure it won't fit in the car. No, I'm just being vulnerable and real. That's how we are. Like, that's us. Come on. We've got to be transparent about these things. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. And I just realized in the moment, so I was sitting in the meetings, and honestly, I was like, these guys are leading amazingly. I was so proud of the guys that were leading, because they're guys I've discipled, and I was going, and the guys I've led, and they're guys I've encouraged, and I'm going, man, beautiful. The sound was great. I've been trying to say for years, we need to get decent sound into the conference. And for the first time they did. And I'm not on stage to enjoy it. You know? I was in the crowd to enjoy it. But you know what I realized in the moment? It's not always about being on the stage. That being part of the congregation, worshiping I've preached that. It's so more important that you're there. Because we are a worship team, just because you're not a musician or something. And I've preached that, I've taught that, I've encouraged other worship leaders. It's not about the stage and the lights. And so it was just God. I mean, really, I thought I'd dealt with that stuff, and it's all up. Anyway, my heart's good now. All right, I've dealt with it. I repented. Thank you. I did repent. And I will repent publicly to you guys as well. That thing was in my heart. And I had to just, Jesus, I'm sorry. Have I made this a little bit about me? And that's something I've had to fight. I mean, God, it's not about me. It's about you. It's not about me, it's about you. And I've been preaching that here. It's not about us, it's about him. And then he just says, seriously? It's just double check. Just this. It's just double check. Are you sure it's not about you? And that is my heart song at the moment. And the guys laugh. I'm stuck on one liner. You must increase, I must decrease. Less of me, more of you. Someone say, what do you mean? How can Jesus be more? Well, if I am less, he can be more. More through me. It's not about me. Not about my abilities, my gifting. And even in, you know, I get challenged even in this context of leading and preaching and just sharing the word. It's like, it's not about me. It's about you, Jesus. That we would walk away from these times together as family, just being more in love with Jesus and realizing that actually he would choose in his grace to use us. He would choose to take our story, our testimony, and touch someone's life. He would choose that in his grace. I mean, he doesn't have to, but he does. Because someone out there just needs a touch and needs an opportunity to meet Jesus. So, yeah. Sean, why don't you start? But so I've asked a couple of guys just to come share. Now, if we don't get to everyone this morning for sake of time, trust that you'll be gracious and patient. But, the heart of what I planned for this morning is just that we would be encouraged by others' story. Also a little bit about the time at the 412 conference. And not that it's like, oh, look, we didn't get there kind of thing. And, well, we were there, you weren't. And it's not one of those kind of mornings. This is a morning to build faith in you guys, okay? The importance of the testimony. I had some notes that I wanted to lead into this time, but don't worry, I've done enough now. But I thought just as we hear some of what God has done, and not only through the time at the conference, but there's other stories as well that are interweaved in this morning. But my hope is that you will see Jesus. Remember, it's the word of our testimony, not only our story, but the word of our testimony, that testimony that Jesus is alive and he saved us and he's rescued us. And as you, sorry, David, thanks, Ben. Oh, you're very kind of you. You were sitting in my chair. I'm going to sit down now. No, I was going to sit at the back. You can still have that chair. I can sit next to Perry or next to Walker. There's lots of chairs. So as we hear the stories this morning, let's not switch off and go, Chad's not preaching. I came for a preach this morning. This is family. This is what we're about. And we need to have these moments where we are encouraged and we hear. Because actually hearing someone like John, who's, okay, yes, he is a deacon in our congregation, or maybe just a saint like John, or like Arthur, or like Daniel, just saints in the body that have a story and have a testimony of our God's faithfulness.
I think it is about just dying. you know, the conference was amazing. God has dealt there with issues. And, you know, you think you go there and I've heard it all. I've been there, done that. I've got the T-shirt and another and another and another. And suddenly God just starts to put things. You know, the very first actually meeting that we had, I'm not going to mention names because, you know, God used a donkey. And what I'm saying, I'm grateful for the leaders that we have, including the leaders that we have here. But, you know, when God is speaking, he will use a donkey, or he will use me, or he will use whoever. But the first meeting, there was just a challenge as to, I want to say, how do I serve God? Do I serve him here, or do I serve him here? And there was just, you know, in ancient times, I'm not going to do justice to the whole preach, which was about 2 hours long, but it was, in the older days, it was all about a Greek mentality and philosophy versus a Hebrew mentality and philosophy. Now, in a quick, short summary, it was the Greeks read in order to understand, to reason, to you know, they would read something, they would sit down, they would reason, philosophy, they would work it out here. And how much of that thinking have actually crept into our own philosophy? Look, I love knowledge. I love it. And I've learned to read analytical, and it's not, it's just, I love it. I enjoy digging into a verse or something like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But unless that actually goes into my heart, it will not bear fruit. And so the Greek philosophy is basically read in order to understand. But now for us today, think of it, knowledge, wisdom, science, all these things, in and of itself, nothing wrong. But now suddenly we start to read in order to control. How much do I want to control God? And that's where my repentance started. How much do I want to actually understand God in order to control my circumstances? God, I am your son, therefore I have these rights. God, when I go to warfare, you war on my behalf, and I need da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How much of my prayer time is actually spent on me instead of what God intended? And this was the old Hebrew way. They read in order to worship. And after that, I can't remember much else of this, of the whole 412 conference, to be honest with you, because my whole base was just a little bit, was just taken, and it was just shaken. And it's just, am I there to worship, or am I there to understand? Am I there to try and figure God out, or am I there just to say, God, you know what, here's my life. You do as you please. And for me to die, the other thing that was just a threat that was really just woven throughout the whole 412 is this little thing called revival. And I was just challenged again this week. John Knox prayed, and he was a Scottish guy, and he prayed. He said, God, give me Scotland or I die. Am I serious about God sent your kingdom? Am I serious about God let your will be done here on earth in George where I am? I'm preaching to you, but please hear my heart. God, am I actually bothered about people going to hell that's living next to me? Am I more concerned about my reputation? And these are just things, if I ask these questions, just know that I've repented of each one of them. Just how much of me is still alive? And Jesus says that unless a seed falls to the ground and it dies, it will not bear fruit. And so I'm challenged. John Knox praying, God, give me Scotland or I die. And it's interesting that the leader, was it Mary, Queen of the Scots, that said, I fear John Knox's prayer more than all the armies of the whole of Europe. We're praying tomorrow night, 5:30, by the way. revival is something that we've spoken about it in COM. It's something that I truly believe that God is doing a shaking. And I truly believe that there will be a revival that we will see. And I pray for that. I believe in it. But I realize that there's a price. Because we've got to be dead. It's not convenient. I love my 8 hours sleep a night. I do. And I need it. Ask my wife. I'm grumpy if I'm not. But am I really just, can we carry on with the status quo as it is? Or am I so desperate to say, God, unless you come and intervene and step into my situation and step into the situation here, or am I busy with my own little puny things, work as an example, just this week, I'll just throw that in there. We've got some issues there that had to be resolved. And it's been going for a long time, and I'm praying, and God, this stuff is in the way. This stuff is taking mental space that really should be given there so that I can have time to spend with family, have time to actually spend with you, have time to worship and focus my thoughts and my emotions and my heart on you. These things are coming to just destroy. And it's just, we walked into a meeting and there's lawyers and all this stuff, and suddenly it's just, there's an atmosphere that's just so light and it's, all fine. Where do we sign? That's perfect. Wonderful. It's exactly what we want. And God just paving a way, because I really believe just, He's making a way, because, it's like John the Baptist that preached and said, make straight this way, because the Messiah is about to come. And throughout this whole 412, it's the revival is about to come. Are we ready? Let's not waste time. Let's not get bogged down with stuff. Let's worship. Let's get our hearts and our focus, our hearts and our minds and our before him. Let's be available. Because he wants all of us. All of us.
Amen. Preach it, baby.
Mr. Colin. You want to come share, bud? Hey? He's got dance moves.
That was when I fell running to the front.
If you go for 15 minutes.
Don't worry, I'm a man of few words. Jesus will fill in the rest. No, for us it was just, as a family, I think I just was meditating on this and just realized that it was, for me, it was a prodigal son experience, living with our hosts, staying with our hosts. The first prodigal son experience was when I gave my life to the Lord and realized I'd been wayward and I needed him. And that was the most important decision I'd ever made in my life. But these guys just blessed us to such an extent that we stayed in Elsie's River. Now, that sounds wrong. It's Elsie's Rivier is the place. And what an incredible time. I mean, an interesting environment to be in. And God just, these people just absolutely blessed us. Tables laden with food and fruit and meat and all sorts. It was just like, God, is this real? And we knew that it wasn't actually within their means. I just felt that. But they had gone to Woolworths to get like the most choice stuff for us, you know. And we're not even used to that, you know. We kind of plot people, you know. we're not used to that. But we were just so blessed, and just spending time with them and going with them in the evenings and all of that was just really a special time. But anyway, we started out, I think for me, and I think Noel's felt the same, we went to the conference saying, well, okay, Lord, we've been to a number of conferences before with other churches and so on, and we'll go this time, but not next year. And I was just absolutely, yeah, blown away. From the first meeting, it was just like God was busy with surgery. And we definitely will be going next year. God willing, that is. But yeah, I want to encourage you to make a way, find a way. God will make the way. You just need to make your desires known to him. But make a plan to get there, because, man, you're just losing out. If you don't experience that, just the corporateness of being together as believers that love Jesus and love each other and just experiencing that whole vibe. Yeah, and the worship was absolutely incredible. So, yeah, be blessed.
Cool. I just, you know, even if for some of us, know, like I was chatting to Benny. So, unfortunately, the way Benny's job is structured, he can never get off over that period of time because it's shut down. And I just said to him, I said, bud, I think you need to go to Isle of Man for 12 next year. Yes. Yes, come on. So I wanted trust for this couple. Because I don't think you've been to a 412 once. But it's unfortunate because it's right when shutdown at Petresa happens and he can't get there. Like, they won't give him leave. It's like he'll lose his job kind of thing if he does. Let's trust together next year. Isle of Man for this couple. Even financially, we're going, God, can we as a family just go Isle of Man, 412 for Benny and Lauren and the boys, all four of you. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Australia, Isle of Man, Australia, Brazil, come on, Brazil. Quentin, vaste mi bru. The thing about Quentin, I love about him, like when he's in the back, like he's so unassuming, but as he gets here, he's power. Same. Don't cry now, sir.
No, I won't.
Sure? I'm going to sing.
You're going to sing?
You must know I'm going to sing.
Tando, tando lwako.
Seriously, that song has been on everybody's heart the whole week that we've been back. But yeah, it really was an awesome event. And, you know, John actually said the first part of it is where we, you know, that scripture in the Word says that Greeks look for wisdom and Jews look for a sign. And we preach Jesus, that's foolishness to you. And we had a whole session about our culture and about cultures, you know. And how do we reach out to different cultures, to different people? And the thing that Karen actually said that morning afterwards, is said, Quinny, it's really important because if we as the church don't get it right, then who's going to get it right? And then what's going to happen? So it's really important for us to understand that. And I see Simone's got a bangle still on, so. But just seeing your bangle this morning, Simone, I was just reminded that, you know, she's still got the bangle of the conference. And the scripture that says, you know, bind the word of the Lord, it must be written on your heart. It must be written on the door frames of your house. And I think there was so much that was said during those few days that Simone still has it on her heart. She still has it on her wrist. And it's, you know, it's still part of it. Dorso, moi. And, you know, actually, there was a lot said, and I'm going to say a few things. The one thing that really stood out about the conference for me was not just the preaching that was really amazing, but also the fellowshipping. We had a fantastic time with Leisha. She got to know the real Dreyer. Because we picked her up in the mornings, and, and we took her home. So, but we had just spending time with Leisha was so amazing. And even though the preaching was so good and we learned so much, it was just those times connecting with people during the preach. I mean, I met a guy. Okay, let me reverse, take one step back. There was a preach the one evening. It was a gentleman. Oh, it was a geezer from London, isn't it, mate? And he actually spoke about sinking ships and broken nets. And the whole message was about, for me, the nets is, we are the nets. We need to be binded together. Unity binds us together. And there's a big catch out there. And we need to go deep. That deep, going deep into that ocean means we've got to get out of our comfort zones. We've got to get out of our mindset. And we've got to get out of our cultures that we think, this is my culture, this is how I do it. Get out of it. Go further. Go deeper. And, you know, when that catch comes, it's not just kabeljau or steenbras. It's a lot of different types of fish. Small, big, and different species. But the thing that really stood out was that morning, preceding that evening's message about broken ships and mending nets, Chad introduced me to a gentleman that's from Port Elizabeth. And I told him that we stayed in Port Elizabeth a few years ago, and we stayed in the Bandle. And like typical Valis, we went for a swim every morning before work and every afternoon after work, just because we loved it so much. And I don't know who it is. It might be the leader of Oxygen Life or somebody just in the congregation, but that's immaterial. And he told me the story about this person and his dad were training for Ironman. And the one morning, as they swam out to the buoy, they actually changed their course because they saw there was a chalker boat quite close to the shore. And they actually swam to the chalker boat, got into the chalker boat, started talking with the people, eventually ended up sharing the gospel with a fisherman on the boat, jumped out of the boat, swam back, and that was their exercise for the morning. And that evening, we heard this, you know, the preach about going out into the deep. And I'm like, wow, that is going out into the deep. Swimming, literally swimming into the deep. But not just, you know, it might sound far out, but it's actually so practical and so everyday. Because they were training for Ironman. They are swimmers. They are fit. And instead of just swimming to the buoy, that's also 3 kilometers out, they just changed their course a little bit because they were curious. Swam to this boat that's also 2 kilometers out, spoke to the people, shared the gospel with them, came back again, and
okay, now I'm going to have my coffee and go to work and have a shower. And that really challenged me as well, you know, how practically we can reach people in our world. And the whole conference actually kicked off with Andrew that spoke about the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And I actually had a few conversations with a friend even a few years ago, but we called it the temple of reasoning and the temple of obedience. You know, and so even this week in our own house, so Andrew had this really good preach about the tree of life versus the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And we as people always, we'd like to understand how this thing works. Ek wil weet hoe werk hy. Because if I know how it works, then I can use it and I don't need a manual. I don't need an instructor because I know how it works. You know? And so even in our house, this whole week has been a hard slog at obedience. And obedience for our children is, when you've my vrou, who come me? Don't ask me why. Just do what I tell you to do. Just be obedient. Because I know something that you don't. I can see something that you can't see. And all I'm asking you is to be obedient and to do it. I'm not going to give you knowledge. You don't know why. Just do it for me. And that's like the same with us, with our walk with the Lord, is we want to try and figure it out. We want to understand it. But he just wants obedience. And so this morning, while we were getting Manfred ready and everybody ready, Timothy was out. He's in a tree. Yesterday he built like a platform in a tree because there's a dove that made a nest and he was watching it. And this morning he actually went out. And Chad actually challenged all the younger, the kids in the comm this week to say, you know, you must read your Bibles. And don't forget to read your Bibles. And this morning he was like, he went out, sat in that platform, and he read his Bible. He came back into the room and he said, Dad, I read Psalm 40, verse 7. It's like, okay, and what does it say? No, for me to know and for you to find out. Sure. And eventually, after a while, he actually brought me a Bible and said, no, you come on this. So I actually read, and it's different. It's in the Afrikaans Bible. So in the Afrikaans Bible, it says, it says it a little bit different, but it says, don't bring your sacrifices and your offerings. What I want is obedience. I'm like, come on, hallelujah. The penny has dropped, you know, and this whole week, when it started last week at the conference, this whole time about obedience, he actually got the word, and the penny really dropped, and he said, Psalm 40, verse 7, Dad. And I read it, and when I read it, I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. He knows that it's not about sacrifices, burnt offerings, or anything. It's about obedience. And that's what we need to do. And even yesterday, you know, we were reading just as a family, we had quiet time, and we were reading about how David brought the ark back. And there's two accounts of it. There's one in Chronicles and one in Kings. And 40 more seconds. That's how fast I do the park run. And there was also, you know, that scripture that really stood out is just on obedience is that there was a prescribed way in which they were supposed to carry the ark. And sometimes we forget that prescribed way. And that prescribed way is in his word. And we don't need the knowledge. And sometimes we ask for a miracle, but all we need to do is to be obedient.
Cool. Johnny, I'm going to come up with. I love that. That's also, that obedience is better than sacrifice. I love that scripture. Yes. Power.
I loved what Chad said when he started. I've got my title as Identity Crisis. I've actually got a lot to share, but I'm going to share about 10% of it. And we moved back to South Africa 4 years ago this last week, I think. And oh, yeah. Now you started me. And it's been tough. Eesh. Anyway, so so I've had this major question of what does the church actually look like, you know? Because I thought I knew, and it's been absolutely brilliant because God's been redoing my filing cabinet. Now let me explain what that means. In my head, I don't know about yours, but there are three drawers. One is called the lies drawer, the one is called the I don't know drawer, and the other drawer is the truth drawer. And so God gives me a truth, and I can choose where I want to file that truth. I can either file it in the truth drawer, in other words, I act on it and it changes my life forever, or I can believe it in my head and it's in the I don't know drawer, as in, I know it, but I won't live by it. Or it's in the lie drawer, as in I don't believe what God is saying. And so that's how I live my life. And so a lot of what I thought was in the truth drawer kind of got mixed up in the I don't know drawer. And over the last half a year, since... since we came here, I wasn't meant to get emotional. But hang on. God's really been showing me the truth. And it's been incredible, just, you know, and we went to the conference in Oslo Bay, the gathering, and God showed us how, you know, we've just been pruned back to a little twig, like that, and you know that for me was a revelation, and I was really thankful that at least I knew where I was. And, you know, what God expected of me. And just this last while of walking out our relationship with you guys has been life-changing. Anyway, wait. Wait. And so, anyway, what I was meant to share about the conference for me was just a restoration of, wow, this is what the church can look like. And the reason I'm emotional is because I've got a passion for the church. I absolutely have this dying passion to see the church in its fullness. And when I see a broken church, I get so cross, I get so angry, because there are people that are living in deception, and there's so many truths that are filed in the lie drawer. And what was amazing was that it wasn't necessarily what was said. It wasn't the preachers, but it was the spirit behind what was being said. And the spirit was, there was a real sense of the fear of God. And for me, that means that it's a safe place. Because if our leaders can fear God more than they fear the people, if they can fear God more than they can fear the repercussions of what they say or anything like that, there was a real sensitivity to what the Holy Spirit was doing. And I've had to repent for judging the church on the lights or the how the singer is hitting the notes or how the preacher's going at, it's, you know, 3 point and a or whatever. You know, it's not about us. It's about him. And for me, this whole thing of it's more about him than about us. You know, we judge church about how comfortable we are. And it's not about that. It's about how we are glorifying him. And if we aren't changing every day, then there's a problem. But anyway, thank you so much for enduring with me.
Sure. I know I sent out the message, and I know we've had a couple of, and I know it's been related to what God did over the last 2 weeks, and I'm just kind of feeling, I want to land it there on that spot, and thank you to the rest of you guys that messaged me and with testimonies, we're going to save them for another day. Can we do that? But I want to land on this scripture, because I think there's just, in what John said, I know. You read it first. It's Hebrews chapter 10. Don't worry about it, putting it up. But I want you just to close your eyes and just to listen to this. Because it's Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus and by the new and living way that he opened us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, this morning, just as guys have shared, and we've encouraged one another, there's been an encouraging of one another in these testimonies, in these stories. And even though it was predominantly the guys that had been away for the week, there was more. There was more than that. And that is what we're called to do. Let us consider, verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I trust this morning, as the guys have shared, you've been stirred to love and to good works. That your testimony, and I know there's some incredible testimonies. Arthur, Nardis, I know Hein, Luria, Ian, Demi, Daniel, Simone, Trophy of Grace. You are my girl. I'm not doing derogatory by hearing my girl, but it's like you're a trophy of his grace and his love and his redemption. You're a daughter of the King of Kings. And that's all I thought for you, Sylvia, as well. Sorry, I don't know, I've noticed the Holy Spirit's been on you the whole morning. But he loves you. Your Father in heaven loves you. And I think the word of obedience, that obedience is better than sacrifice. It's a word for you. I don't know why. Throwing it out there. I just feel God's calling you to obedience, to be in step with him, to hear his heart. For each and every one of us, this thing about identity has been ringing on my heart as well. The thing about that we're called to be sons and daughters in the house, not slaves, not servants. A servant sits on the outside. A servant only does anything when he's told to do anything. And a servant doesn't know the way of his father. Sons know the way of their father. Do you know the way of your father? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're going, I actually don't think I really do know the way of my father anymore. Maybe life has hit me so sideways that I've lost the knowledge or the heart or the understanding of the way of my father. To be honest, the scripture, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, and not neglecting meeting together. Like, even that word, that little phrase there, how many of us neglect meeting together? This. How many of us consider this time of getting together as something that I'll do when I'm not busy? When my calendar's not too full, I'll come to church. This is a stern instruction to the body of Christ here, to not neglect meeting together. Why? So that, firstly, God can be glorified, but that we can be encouraged. I mean, we've all been encouraged by these words. We've all been stirred on, and we love Jesus more for these words. And I know John's got a full-on story there. He dropped something with me this morning. I was like, okay, I'm going to give you the whole morning to share that story. I want to hear that story. And I'm sure everyone else needs to. Laria's got a story. I want to give her the whole morning for that story, because it's Simone's got a story. I want to give her the whole morning for that story. Because Jesus is a redemptive God. He does that. There's no record of wrong when we come into his presence, when we come into his grace. He's a loving and faithful God. Each and every one of us have a story, and we need to go from this place not being ashamed of that story, not being embarrassed about that story, but knowing that it is for his glory, for his glory, for his glory. So just even as we wind down, I just, I said to the guys before, and I just want to say it before we disperse, and maybe there are a number of other people in the gardens. There's a function happening up at the top there, so just be mindful of the children as we have coffee, and parents, take note of your own kids, please, but for the rest of us, we're a community. Just keep an eye on the kids. There are a lot of other people, but and there might be a bit of extra traffic, so just be aware of that. But as we go from this place, and I'm just going to just take a moment just for us to find Jesus, and just, if you in your heart are going, man, Chad, I'd like to get prayed for. I realize that, you know what, Jesus hasn't been my all. The words during worship about me having the hands on the steering wheel as opposed to allowing Jesus, maybe even the word of obedience, that word of Quinton's, just like I've, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Maybe even just this thing of family and knowing that you haven't given your all to this family, because you've been sitting on the outside looking on and going, still checking your ex out. You know what? Nah. I'll tell you what, when I hear a story like John's, and tell me, you don't know, John has been in church leadership years. He's led church. And there are men sitting here that have done it. And I tell you what, when I hear a man who has been in church leadership and coming to a place and it's going, you know, I neglected that thing for a season of my life, and I need it. We need each other, guys. We need Jesus first and foremostly, but we need each other. We need each other to encourage and to spur on into acts of righteousness. So maybe you sitting here, firstly, you haven't made a decision to enter into the family of God. I mean, that's the first step. We need to enter into the family of God. And that comes and by us choosing to serve Jesus with all our heart and saying, you know what, Lord Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that through the act of Adam and Eve, through the sin coming to the world, I have by default been separated from your love. But I this morning choose to come back to you. I want to give you my life. I want to surrender my heart to you anew this morning. Maybe you might have done it years ago, and life has smacked you sideways, and you've gone on different paths, and this morning you're going, actually, I need to get back to Jesus. I need to get back on track with him. And maybe just we can close our eyes. I don't want to embarrass you, but if there's anyone here this morning that realizes that they need to recommit, or they've never even committed, would you just show me by your hand, and I want to pray with you. Just say, I need Jesus. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Thanks. I want to recommit. I want to give Jesus my all. I want to give Jesus my all. Thank you, ma'am. I want to give Jesus my all. I want to give him my life anew this morning. I've too long had the steering wheel, my hands on the steering wheel. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait a little longer. The Spirit prompts you. If you've got like your heart thumping, that's me. Even if you just want to recommit this morning, you just say, Lord Jesus, I need to recommit to you. I need to give you my love. I need to focus on you again. And we want to pray with you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. So I want to ask, we're going to stand together. And if you, in your heart, have responded, can I ask you to be bold? Come and stand here, and we're going to draw around you as elders, as leaders, and we're going to pray for you. Why don't, Henry, you want to come up on the guitar? Why don't we stand together? And we're just going to pray for these guys. Would you be okay to come forward? Come and stand here, and we're going to pray with you. Awesome. Awesome. Come stand here with us.